Toronto, proud to announce from Zurich, Men's League Switzerland, U.S. program, Austin Matthews.
To the Billy Box, Nylander gets an extra shift. William Nylander shoots. He scores. Coach played a hunch, and the kid has his first National Hockey League goal.
Welcome back to the Tip of the Tower of Toronto Maple Leafs podcast, everyone. Joining me this week is the usual guys, Jake Middleton, Austin Owens, David Morisuti, and Omar White. Last week we kind of alluded to what we're going to do a bit, but we're going to do a live NHL mock draft of the 2017 draft, so we'll see how that goes. The format is pretty simple here. Each guy is going to make a pick. They're going to pick for whatever said team they are, but they're not going to know who each person is picking. So it's kind of going to be like a fantasy draft setting where each guy picks, you know, a player, and it could screw you over or make your life better. So I'm going to do my horrible, horrible Gary Bettman impersonation to start things off. Once you labor through that little intro, we'll hop right into the picks and we'll open things up with the New Jersey Devils. And then this podcast episode will consist of picks 1 to 15. And the second part that will come out later on today, late Thursday night, early Friday morning, will be picks 16 to 30. So again, each person does not know who each person is picking, so should be fun. All right, guys, without further ado, let's get into it.
Good evening. Welcome, welcome, and thank you for the energetic welcome. Thank you. Welcome to the United Center and the 2017 National Hockey League Draft. The Chicago Blackhawks and the beautiful windy city of Chicago do a wonderful job hosting our event. And on behalf of the entire NHL and the city of Chicago, the Blackhawks organization, and of course, the fans, welcome. For those watching on Sportsnet, TVA, Fansided, YouTube, and draft parties across North America, this is an exciting time for our prospects, our organizations, our fans, and especially our loyal podcast fan at Boreal Ninja. So, without further ado, let's get the draft started. The first selection of the 2017 National Hockey League Draft belongs to the New Jersey Devils.
On behalf of the Devils organization, I'd like to thank the city of Chicago and congratulate the Pittsburgh Penguins on a Stanley Cup victory. Without further ado, with the first overall pick, the New Jersey Devils select Nico Hischier from Sweden and from the Halifax Mooseheads of the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League.
Very nice.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay, Jake. So what do you got on Hischier here?
You know, the thing, when I think of Nico Hischier, I instantly think of just immense skill. I mean, he reminds me a lot of Henrik Zetterberg, you know, kind of a hybrid center winger who's just a playmaker. He's a guy that makes everybody around him better. And, you know, he's a great skater. He's really elusive, got great hands. And I think he can be a franchise player that the Devils haven't had since Zach Parise left a couple years ago. So I also, the thing that really scared me was the sports hernia injuries and all the other nagging things with Nolan Patrick. And I think that Nico can come in and be the number one center the Devils haven't had since their cup runs.
So you're slotting him in between Taylor Hall going forward, I guess.
Yes, I think that will be a dynamic duo for those two. Obviously, both of them can skate like the wind, have great hands, and Hischier's a really good passer, and as we know, Hall's the guy that can score 30, 35 goals.
All right, and with the number two pick, we have
Philadelphia Flyers.
You have to go to the
Well,
podium.
I'm on the clock.
Okay.
I get some time here.
Oh, come on. I don't know who you're picking second
this
overall.
This is difficult. I have to write my speech, so give me, like, just talk amongst
yourselves. Oh, my gosh. So we can do a little more analyzing of the Hischier pick, settling the debate of who was going to go first overall.
Yeah, I think I remember before on a couple of Bob McKenzie's podcasts, he's you know, gone back and forth between Patrick and Hischier going one or two, and I think like Jake brought up like the best points that Hischier would be, you know, a great offensive addition. Thank you to the New Jersey organization, and you know, with him and Hall, like, going back and forth with each other, I think would be really great for the team. So I definitely would agree with that one of Hischier going number one over Patrick.
All right, so we have the Philadelphia Flyers on the clock. It looks like they're ready to make their pick. Any last-minute guess of who's going to be picked second?
Jake Oettinger. All righty,
here we go.
All right. Thank you to the city of Chicago for the hospitality, and congratulations to the Nashville Predators on a successful season. With the second pick in the 2017 quiet please. With the second pick in the 2017 NHL draft, the Philadelphia Flyers select Nolan Patrick from the Brandon Wheat Kings. The Dallas Stars are on the clock. Alrighty.
So
something funny, Omar?
No, not at all.
Why don't you congratulate the Colorado Avalanche on the season, too?
Hey, Carl Soderberg had 14 points.
All right, so, Patrick, no concerns with the injuries?
I mean, there are concerns with the injuries, but he's a great player. He's a great two-way center. I mean, the Flyers have the easiest pick in the draft, obviously. You just have to pick the guy that New Jersey doesn't. So, I mean, they're kind of fell into this pick. Obviously, they weren't high in the lottery, but Patrick's a great pickup for them, and we'll see how it goes from there. I mean, they're heavy on centers. They've got Couturier. They've got Giroux. They've got Braden Schenn, who I'm not sure is playing wing or center at the moment, but Patrick will slot in somewhere there in the future, and he'll be a good contributor for them, I think.
All right.
All righty.
Well, the Dallas Stars do not need as much time as the Philadelphia Flyers do, so... Mm-hmm.
Further ado, he's got his speech ready.
Oh,
speech
I'm
from
about
the heart,
to,
boys.
I'm
fancy
a,
man.
I'm about to be screwed.
Right. Omar, what are you thinking here? Who do you think he's going with?
I know who he's going with.
Oh, good.
Laser right. beams activated.
Let's turn it over to the Stars.
All right. Well, first off, I'd like to thank the city of Chicago for their hospitality. Congratulate the Pittsburgh Penguins on their second straight Stanley Cup. And to our fans back at home drinking shotgunning some beers, hope you guys are enjoying the draft party down there. With the third overall pick in this year's draft, the Dallas Stars are proud to select from the Windsor Spitfires center Gabriel Vilardi.
Boo!
I gotta stay up here, don't I? Yeah.
All right, we got a heckler.
All right, Dave. Okay. Why the pick?
All right, well, look, the Dallas Stars, they don't just need one thing. Obviously, defense is not great on the team, but with Ben Bishop in net, it should get a little better. But when you look at the talent that Gabriel Vilardi is, you can't pass up on a guy that can slot behind Tyler Seguin and be like almost like your Malkin to your Crosby, maybe not to the same extent, but something very similar. You know, he's big, he's strong. He's going to get stronger, too, which will be scary for some guys in the West, especially with the heavy game played, you know, being played there. And you know what? Windsor had a great Memorial Cup run. He was a yep. big part of that. So how can you not go with a guy who's got that pedigree? And Dallas is sure going to need a guy like that down the middle, especially with Spezza, who's kind of gone the decline a little bit. So you're going to need someone to replace him very soon.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, cool. Omar's next up. Nope. Obviously, he doesn't seem too happy about what just transpired.
Well, you know, like obviously, like Vilardi is a great pick by Dave there. If you ask a lot of his coaches back in Windsor, they always rave about how he makes the players around him better.
Yeah.
You know, Windsor had a lot of injuries this season, and whoever they threw up right next to him ended up playing well. So, you know, great pick. You know, so. Nice choice, Dave.
Good stuff. Yeah, I mean, I just watching a little bit of Vilardi, I think he had a chance to jump up or improve on his draft status a little bit, maybe from that 4-3 spot and solidify it in the Memorial Cup, and I think he took over that tournament. He looked awesome in a couple of those games. He was really hard on the puck. And
all right, really it looks it like the Colorado Avalanche are ready to make their pick.
Ooh.
All right. So I'd also like to congratulate the Pittsburgh Penguins for another Stanley Cup win. I'd like to thank the city of Chicago and its fans for its hospitality and for welcoming us to the city. I'd like to give a shout out to the Colorado fans. A nice hi and hello. Sorry for not winning the draft lottery. My bad.
No? It was all Omar. It was all your fault.
It's on your shoulders.
With the fourth overall pick, the Colorado Avalanche draft from the Finnish Pro League, Miro Heiskanen. Yes. So just to go into the pick, the last three years, the Colorado has picked all offense. You know, Tyson Jost, Miro, oh my gosh.
Rantanen.
Yeah, thank you. I forgot my own team.
Miko.
To name a few.
Miko. And, he's like Cher.
And so I think defense would be the best way to go. You know, Heiskanen is a left-handed shot. You know, he averaged 20 minutes a game playing with men in the Finnish Pro League. He's not the biggest guy, you know, only 5'11", 174. And he's not going to give you that many points. But the thing is that he's a very defensively responsible defenseman. You know, he's very mobile. He can move with the puck. You know, has great hockey sensing and good gap control. So I think definitely if you look at what Colorado already has on defense, it doesn't really wow you, you know, besides maybe Tyson Barrie, and I guess you can maybe give a little nod to Johnson. So I think if you want to, you know, start to build up that defensive core, I think adding Heiskanen would be a great way to start.
All right, cool.
All right, so the Vancouver Canucks are now on the clock. So Jake, you're on the clock. Omar will be bringing you up to the draft table very soon.
You know, Heiskanen.
Let us know when you're ready for your pick.
Heiskanen had a really good U18 tournament as well.
I am ready right now.
Okay, so the Vancouver Canucks are ready to pick. Yes, because pointing the microphone at the laptop is really going
to
help with that.
We have to, you know, you have to have the...
All right, shoot.
All righty, go ahead, Jake.
Although I was trying to trade this pick for a terrible hockey player and it didn't work, but I would like to thank the city of Chicago for its hospitality.
Are we gonna do this?
And obviously congratulate the Pittsburgh Penguins on their back-to-back championships. On behalf of the Vancouver Canucks organization, we're proud to select from the Alberta Junior Hockey League and the Brooks Bandits, Cale Makar.
Ooh, Cale Makar. All right, so
very nice.
Two straight defensemen off the board right now. All righty, so Jake, give us the reason why you chose Makar.
I actually thought you were going to take Makar third with Dallas, ooh, and that's what I was afraid of. Oh. But I mean, when I look at the board, there's people that honestly believe there's a chance he could go number one overall. They think he's that talented. I mean, I know, you know, scouts have compared his style of game to Erik Karlsson. Obviously, that's not fair to compare him to arguably the best defenseman of the past 10 years. Ever since, you know, Lidstrom left, he's probably been one of the most dominant defensemen in the league. And he got Conn Smythe votes, and he wasn't even in the Stanley Cup final. So, I mean, just to add a guy that offensively dynamic and that ability, you know, since we're not able to get a number one center, we're just going to try and build from the back like Nashville did. And we're going to have a really good and mobile young defense with obviously Juha Leivi and now Cale Makar.
All right.
Cool.
So next up is the Vegas Golden Knights, who are now on the clock. All right. And it appears they are ready to make the pick.
All right. We're just going to jump right into it. With the sixth pick in the 2017 entry draft, the Vegas Golden Knights select Casey Mittelstadt from the Green Bay Gamblers.
Alrighty, so Casey Mittelstadt, who is a big boy.
Although he did one push-up and zero pull-ups.
Oh, are we going there again? Sam Bennett 2.0, are we?
That's all right.
All right, so why Casey?
Basically, Vegas, we all know it's not going to be there next year for Vegas, barring a miracle and some team's lack of logic at the expansion draft. Vegas is not going to be a contender, even they're going to be a lottery team next year. Mittelstadt's a USHL product. He's in high school. He's going to college next year. So you have a couple of years to sort of mold him into the player you want to be. He's 6'1 already, which means he can grow and sort of bulk up, and he's got the skill to be a top six forward, which Vegas needs right now. And, I mean, he's the top. I'd say you're just drafting best available. You're not looking for needs as an expansion team. So I think Casey Mittelstadt's the best on the board there.
So now it is me with the Arizona Coyotes on the clock. Going to take 1 second here just to ponder potential pick right here.
I guess maybe we can talk about Mittelstadt a little bit more?
Yeah, for sure.
So
The interesting thing about him, I'm sorry to cut you off, he went back to high school halfway through his USHL season.
Destroyed it.
He destroyed that league. I think he had something like 70 points or 60 points in 23 games.
He had 64 points in 25 games.
That's a joke.
And then, yeah, in the USHL had 30 points in 24 games. So
he was still over a point per game player.
Yeah, literally. So, yeah, impressive. Speed, skill, hockey IQ, vision, you know, and he has a quick and heavy shot, too. So
he's got a deceptive shot for a guy that doesn't look like he's got a big shot.
Yeah, and to your point, yeah, like Vegas isn't going to be looking to – you know, to make a big run or anything anytime soon. So, you know, he's going to be playing University of Minnesota next year. It seems like he's committed. So, you know, give him that time to grow, and then we'll see what he can do in the NHL.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Dave, you're up.
All righty.
Let's see if this guy greases me again.
The Arizona Coyotes are glad to be seeing Mr. Bettman here tonight. Thank you for the check, by the way. We'd like to thank the Chicago Blackhawks for their hospitality. And the rest of the league for their hospitality as well the last few years. Also want to congratulate the Pittsburgh Penguins on another great season with the 7th overall pick in this year's draft. The Arizona Coyotes are proud to select from Portland, Cody Glass.
Very nice. All right. Explain yourself.
Well, this was actually a tough one because Arizona has – really tough needs. They don't need wingers. The other option was Owen Tippett. I was struggling whether to take a defense, but I thought it was a little early. So Cody Glass seemed like a good pick. Big center. Dylan Strome doesn't seem like the prospect they probably are hoping right now. So I'm, you know, when you look at just trying to build the centers in the draft, you got to get depth there. And Cody Glass will be that type of guy that, you know, he has the size. He's playing, you know, really good hockey for Portland, and you can't go wrong with a pick like that. So, all right. And Buffalo Sabres are now on the clock.
Cody Glass. I like him. I mean, in my rankings that I did, I had him right in behind Mittelstadt, I believe. I mean, he sort of just jumped onto the WHL scene this year. He went from 23 points last year in 70-some-odd games, and now he's – over a point per game player, so he has a ton of upside, and I mean top six potential, and he's 6'2". I mean, you're talking about a prototypical center type.
Can't teach size.
Yep. So I mean, he's already that. I think he's what 190 something probably.
Alrighty, the Buffalo Sabres are now up.
Alrighty,
Timothy Liljegren.
Timothy Liljegren. Okay.
Yeah, so again if you're going back to all the Buffalo's drafts, you know, so last year they took Alexander Nylander, the year before Jack Eichel, the year before Sam Reinhardt. You know, we know they have the offense. It's the defense that doesn't really scare you at all, right? And you know, since Cale Makar is already off the board, that's probably the person I would like to go for. We're gonna have to go for him, even though he hasn't played that much because of Mono. He probably still can be one of the better defensemen in the draft. You know, he moves the puck well and is offensive minded. You know, is that right shot that everyone looks for? And you know, at 6'1", 191 pounds, he's a thick guy. He's been playing against men for the past two seasons. You know, he already said that he's gonna be playing. He's gonna stay up in Sweden next year, so. Well, I guess we'll have to see if we'll get better, but I think in terms of Buffalo, I think getting that right shot defenseman or building your defensive core even more is the best way to go. So that's who I'm going for.
Very nice. I dispute your claim that nobody is scared of the Buffalo defense. Everybody is scared of Josh Georges.
even his defense partner is scared of him.
I tried to laugh, I couldn't.
All right, on the clock.
Fair enough.
Are the Detroit Red Wings?
Okay,
Jake.
I know who I'm going to pick.
All right,
I'm sprinting to the podium.
The pick is in.
This is when it gets interesting.
Yeah.
Somebody just sprint me to the podium because I got it.
Okay.
All right, you're good.
Okay, all right. For the first time in, 23 years, we are finding ourselves in a lottery where we intend to never be back here again, but we congratulate the Pittsburgh Penguins on their second Stanley Cup in a row, And yeah, I guess we thank the Chicago Blackhawks, but yeah, we still hate them. You guys are supposed to boo me.
Oh, boo.
Get off the stage, you drunk idiot.
With the 9th overall pick, the Detroit Red Wings are proud to select from Timrå in the Swedish Elite League, Elias Pettersson.
Okay.
I'm a fan.
You took him 9th overall. Yeah. Some had him going just outside of the top 10. What's going on with this guy?
For me, it was really easy. I mean, you know, this just screams Detroit pick. You know, they have those epic Swedish scouts over there that have been able to pluck gems like Nicholas Cronwall, Nicholas Lindstrom, Henrik Zetterberg. I mean, Thomas Holmström, the names go on and on. And I mean, for me, this is probably one of the most talented international prospects, as in not playing in North America. So, I mean, this is a guy that, you know, he had 37 points in 37 games in the Allsvenskan league, which is the second division in Sweden. And, you know, the list of guys who put up the type of points he has is rare. You know, in the past 5 years, the names are William Nylander, David Pastrnak, Philip Forsberg, Alexander Wennberg, and William Karlsson. And those are five, you know, borderline superstar to caliber players. And I mean, this just is a really big talent. Obviously, he had a pretty solid World Junior with Sweden. And, you know, hopefully he's going to be playing with men next year in the Swedish Elite League. And we think he can make an impact in Detroit really soon.
Awesome. Good stuff. I really like Elias.
Thank you, Mr. Bettman.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. I think another thing about Pettersson, too, is that, like, he's so shifty, and he can beat you one-on-one. I don't know. Like, if you have the chance to check out any of his highlights, there have been so many, like, one-on-one deeks. He's just, like, blown past defensemen and stuff like that. So I think definitely you're adding, like, elite skill, just like Jake said. And he'll be able to make magic with the other forwards up there in Detroit.
All right, with the 10th.
And could be a really good replacement plan for Henrik Zetterberg who's getting up there.
All right, with the 10th overall pick, it is the Florida Panthers.
All righty. With the 10th overall pick in the 2017 draft, the Florida Panthers select Eli Tolvanen from CU City of the USHL.
Oh.
Sue.
Hey, if he's gonna say it wrong, let him say it wrong. It happens all the time.
Hey, he can be like Shirelli, Paul Jujarvi.
Is it Ellie?
No, it wasn't that. It was
Sioux City. Sorry, that's the Canadian.
Yeah.
It's the Canadian in you. It's
yeah,
great.
We don't know American places.
All right, so why the pick?
So Florida went with a Finn a couple of years ago by the name of Sasha Barkov. He turned out pretty well for them, I'd like to think. They're stacked down the middle with centers. They've got Nicholas Bjugstad. They've also got Vincent Trocheck along with Barkov, who's come around. He was an All-Star last year. So I think it's a fair time to start improving on the wing a little bit. Just the thought of Tolvanen, who's probably the best pure shooter in this draft, on either Barkov or Trocheck's wing in the future is exciting. So that's the main reason I'm thinking. His release is great, and he's just got the smarts to put the puck in the net. So I think he's going to be a good asset for Florida.
All right. So I am up with the LA Kings.
Oh, God. I forgot the J. Oh,
Oh, no. Oh, no.
The Law Kings?
Okay.
It's just going to be a game of how many American names Austin can butcher before the end of the podcast.
No, it's going to be a game of how many times is Dave screw Omar. And
damn,
if I trust that smirk on his face, it might be two.
No,
did
not
you have
yet.
A how many time Dave screws Omar counter on the video?
Oh no, we'll see how this goes. All right, the LA Kings with their first round pick since 2014.
Yikes!
They are proud to select Cal Foote.
Fun.
Thank you.
Thank you. He didn't screw me. Alrighty, Cal Foote.
All right. Well, there were some thoughts that he could have gone before to a team like Detroit, but when you have a guy like, you have a guy like Pettersson up, you can't miss the chance on that. But
when you look at LA, their D-core is getting a bit older. And, you know, Drew Doughty takes quite a beating back there. And, Rob Blake knows the game from the back end pretty well. What better than to draft a former teammate's son, you know, in Cal Foot? He's got that pedigree. He's a good puck mover. He's going to probably fit with what the LA Kings are going to try to do now, where they're trying to go younger. They got a lot of aging guys, especially on that blue line. So he makes the most sense there. There's a lot of talented D-men, but I think, you know, they seem interested in him from the beginning. I've heard rumors that they really liked him, so can't go wrong with a guy like him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Cal Foot, a lot of people were sort of all over the board with him, whether he was going to go just outside the top 10, or I've seen some mocks that have had him outside the top 20. So sort of an anomaly for certain people as to how you put him, but great player. I mean, he's got the size to be an NHL defenseman. He plays the two-way game, which is really nice. So, I mean, it's a good pick for whatever team. They're going to get a good player. You want to see the skating get a little better with a guy his size, I would assume.
Yeah, that's probably the one thing, but that can be worked on too, yeah. Right? But I think another thing about Foot's game is that he has good positioning.
Yeah.
So, you know, be it his body or his stick, you know, like he knows where to go to prevent scoring chances. He uses his size effectively, you know, and you know he's a second generation NHL player.
Yeah.
So you know he'll know the nicks and cracks and all that stuff about the NHL. So I think definitely that'll be a great thing, and you know. Right shot. All teams usually drool over those type of things. So,
all right. Yeah. Now, with the 12th overall pick are the Carolina Hurricanes. Quick note before he makes the pick, in the last three drafts, the Carolina Hurricanes have selected defensemen in the first round. Ooh. Will they do something different?
All right. So I'm not going to do the whole rigmarole of thanking Pittsburgh. I think we did that like 11 times already.
Even though you just thanked Pittsburgh.
Even though I just did it, yeah. Congratulations, Pittsburgh. The Leafs will be there one day. Anyway, with the 12th overall pick, the Carolina Hurricanes will draft from the Mississauga Steelheads, Owen Tippett. You know, just to what Dave brought up, offense is... Why are you laughing? Why is he laughing?
Right, so, I said, "Damn it!"
Yeah. So, as Carolina brought up, as Dave brought up, you know, defense has been something that Carolina has drafted all, you know, for the past couple years now. And you know, Owen Tippett is definitely a good option if you want to go for offense. Austin said that Tolvanen has one of the best shots in the draft. There are a lot of people say that Tippett has one of the best shots in the draft as well. You know, 75 points in 60 games, 44 of them are goals. You know, fifth in goals in the OHL, second in game winning goals. You know, he can score in those tight areas from those areas that you don't think that a puck will go in. You know, speed and skill can beat the team's defense. You know, he has pretty good size, 6'2" and 202 pounds. So I think definitely. The defense in Carolina has been built up enough to start adding some offense and start that with Owen Tippett.
Mm-hmm. Owen Tippett, I like the guy. I mean, if you're into the whole size thing, getting the bigger size sniper, then Owen Tippett's definitely your pick over Ilya Tolvanen, I would say. He's got a great shot, and he knows how to use his strength along the wall. I mean, I've seen some goals where he picks corners from off the sidewall.
Yeah,
he'll pick a puck out from a scrum in the faceoff circle and just drill it top corner. It's ridiculous. Mm. He's got a great shot. He's also a Leaf fan, oddly enough.
Oh,
I was looking
he?
Into his Twitter, yeah. And he does every time he scores, he does the Austin Matthews hand thing.
Oh yeah,
there you go.
He's got a really big shot. He actually kind of reminds me of like a less dynamic Phil Kessel because he's got that quick release and
yeah.
he can really shoot it. You know, he's one of the best shooters available, and it would make sense for any team that needs offense because he's going to score goals, and that's the hardest thing to find in the league nowadays. So,
all right.
With the 13th overall pick, we have the Winnipeg Jets. Is Winnipeg ready?
True North.
yes,
Hold
I am.
Hold on one
ready.
Sec. I got to take you up to the front.
He is being.
Oh God.
He's being passed around.
Thank you, sir.
Don't pass around Jake as you bring him.
Poor Winnipeg
to
almost gets dropped on the way to the podium.
All right, so it's Kevin Schimmel day off. On behalf of the Winnipeg Jets, with the 13th overall pick, we're proud to select from HC Brno in the Czech Republic, Martin Nikas.
Okay, a Czech guy.
I'm a big fan.
Going to Winnipeg. First time in a while.
All right. So what makes this guy, who, I mean, we, you just said it, Czech players have not really been featured in drafts. So what makes him such a popular pick, especially in the top 15?
Yeah, it's been kind of a rough go for the Czechs in the past couple of years. They haven't really had many great performances at international tournaments and haven't done well in the draft. But, you know, Nikash is, you know, he's decently sized. He's kind of light, but he's really good offensively. And, you know, he, for the Jets, I think he slots in right behind Mark Scheifele one day as, you know, a second or third line center down the road. You know, obviously he put up some pretty decent points as a 17-year-old in the Czech league. He put up, you know, 7 goals and 8 assists for 15 points in 41 games. That's pretty good for any 17-year-old playing in Europe. And I just think if he's able to add some weight, you know, with his skating ability, he can be the second line center that they need to replace a guy like Brian Little, who isn't getting any younger.
All right.
Alrighty, so with the 14th overall pick are the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
Is Tampa ready to make their pick?
I am. I just wanted to say real quick, Nikash is going to be, looks like he's going to be a really good prospect. It looks like he has everything there for him. I mean, I had him earlier in the draft, but a couple guys fell. So, I mean, what can you really say? There's not a lot of tape on him. Just because of
he did play in the World Juniors, and I thought he was their by far their best player when they played against Canada.
Also,
he scored a goal against Canada. So,
also played on the same team, possibly the same line as Martin Erat. So, that adds into things.
He's, you know, he's defensively responsible center. You know, he has offensive offside too, right? So, and I think his most noted comparable is Claude Giroux. I don't know if I read that wrong. But
no, that was right.
So yeah, so you know, if you want to get a player like that, he can distribute. Distribute the puck well, then, yeah, for sure, go for him.
Alrighty. It looks like Tampa is ready to make their pick.
Yes, we are. Alrighty. One sec. Alright, cool. With the 14th overall pick in the 2017 draft, the Tampa Bay Lightning select Elias Anderson, a center from HV71 in the SHL.
So, Tampa...
Hi, Omar. we gotta get a whole counter of guys that screwed Omar over in this draft.
That's
cool. So Anderson, when I look at the Tampa Bay Lightning's lines, I mean, obviously it's not indicative of who they have on their roster, but last season, when they finished the season, they were playing Yanni Gourde and Greg McKegg as their two centers. There's a possibility they could lose Tyler Johnson. Stamkos will be back. Namestnikov, I think, is better on the wing. And I think Elias Anderson's a good center. He plays a good two-way game, and he just won a championship with HV71 in the SHL. He's got a year of pro hockey under his belt, so I think he's a little farther ahead than some guys might be. So I could see him really working for Tampa Bay.
Oh. Also a teammate of Andreas Borgman, who is a Leaf prospect now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Alrighty, and who was next on the...
That would be the New York Islanders.
Islanders. David, get up there.
Okay.
Well, if you're ready. If not, then don't worry about it.
Yep, I'm just getting... Okay.
Yeah. Cool, good stuff. I love in the Swedish league as well. I was watching clips on Anderson, and they give out the gold helmets to everybody on the winning team. That's my favorite part of the Swedish. Even the Swedish World Championship team, they gave them the gold helmets. I love European hockey just because they give out... flaming jerseys and gold helmets to everyone.
Yeah.
Or the top scorers, at least. All right, Dave.
All righty. So, with the 15th overall pick, the New York Islanders are proud to select Erik Brännström.
Oh, thank God.
Defenseman.
Nice. just laughing at you, just laughing at Omar.
All right.
He's sweating bullets over here.
He's sweating bullets right now, huh? All right.
The pressure's getting to him.
All right, so... playing for HV71 in the Swedish Hockey League, you know, 17 years old, and he's already playing defense for a men's professional league. Yep. You don't see that very often, especially he's a bit smaller, but he's definitely a guy that's going to put up a little bit of weight. He made the top 10 amongst European skaters. He may be small, but he's very speedy. His offensive flair from the back end makes him... makes him a really good pick. The Islanders don't really have that offensive stud on the blue line coming up, I don't think. You know, they're drafting really heavy up front. I mean, they've got a second-line center in Matthew Barzal for their future, so they need to get some talent on that blue line, and what better than picking a Swede who says he likes to watch a lot of, you know, Ryan Ellis and Shane Gostisbehere in the NHL, so looks like he's a guy who has the flair for the offense and just a simple offensive game.
Yeah, I guess
that is back-to-back HV71 players too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They're on a roll.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Who's the next draft eligible HV71 player? Let's keep the trend going.
Right. But we have an announcement to make.
You're gonna want to hear this.
Boo. Go ahead.
That will conclude the first half of our NHL draft. We will now take a brief intermission. Thank you.
All right, well, that's enough of the Bettman voice and all that. I don't really think it's close to Bettman, but it'll work for us.
Are we retiring the Bettman voice for the night?
It's boo-worthy. It'll be back.
I'll keep going after
it.
It better
be back.
Yeah, I'll keep going after it. So with the first round, well, not the first round, the first 15 picks, guys, which team was the hardest team to make a pick for?
I'll say for myself, L.A., because they obviously need a lot more than just a defenseman. Like, they're a team that I was kind of hoping would try to get more picks going into this draft because they've traded so many away. So many. Like, Rob Blake basically is almost like Brendan Shanahan coming in to fix.
Oh, yeah.
But obviously, the team has won some cups.
There's still some talent there.
There's still some talent there. But, like, moving forward,
Dean Lombardi ravaged that team.
Like, yeah, Lombardi, like, scavenged that team to the point where it's like, You're hoping that the talent of the team can stick until the younger guys can come in. Because, look, Doughty, he's still a pretty decent defenseman, but he's going to start slowing down, I think. He's one of those guys that's going to get abused.
Yeah.
Kopitar, you're hoping a little bit better next year. He didn't really have a great first year off of his new contract. I think there's more he can do. Jeff Carter was the best player last year for that team.
Yep.
Well, they need a lot. We can all agree with that.
Yeah, they need a lot more. So, and you can't rely on your older players to keep doing anymore. That's not where the NHL is going anymore.
What other teams were hard? I found you guys kind of took a little pause with Carolina and Florida. Were they both difficult too?
Well, you want to go?
Yeah. For me personally, I don't think Carolina was hard just because
– He just wanted to make it hard.
Their defensive core is always praised, right? You know, they always talk about, like, their top four and all that stuff. So I think picking Tippett for me was an easy choice just because, you know, he's that pure offensive goal scorer that you definitely want to add on to a young core growing up. And so I think Carolina was probably one of the easiest picks. I think actually Austin might have had a harder time with Florida.
Yeah, because with me, Florida picking at 10, I mean, you didn't really know who was going to be there. Just me looking at mocks and other stuff, there was a lot of parity as to who was going to go where in this draft. So I had a bunch of different guys down. I did have Martin Nikash, and I ended up going with Ilya Tolvanen just because I figured they'd need a shooter in Florida. But that was one that I was sort of up in the air. Do they need a defenseman? What is their biggest need at the moment? And I settled on right wing.
Were there any surprise picks for you guys? Jake, you had a nice little reaction there for Liljegren winning Buffalo, so I guess that was surprising to you?
Yeah, it was surprising for me. I mean, I thought he was going to be available in, like, the 20s for a team like maybe the Rangers, a team that, you know, has in the past gone out and picked up guys that, you know, obviously have either gotten a lot of potential and just haven't reached it. A guy like the player from the Mississauga Steelheads, the one that was given exceptional status, the defenseman, his name eludes me. Sean Day.
Yeah.
Because he kind of reminds me of Sean Day because they're just both absurdly good skaters, but they just haven't put it all together and they haven't shown enough to scouts. I thought 8 was pretty high for him because that's basically all on potential because he didn't play that much this year and he didn't get a chance to play in the World, which is a big blow because the guy that was being talked about going top 3. And you know, I thought he was going to fall a lot.
Yeah, I think just to add to that point, I guess when you look at Lodgren, you kind of and the fact that he didn't play that much, you kind of think back to 2012 when Morgan Rielly was drafted fifth overall. Obviously, they're different players, but you know, he didn't play that much, and a lot of people or like fans and even some analysts were kind of iffy about it, just because it makes sense. You know, if you don't see a player play that much, it's like kind of like a small sample size. So you don't know, you know, if this is all they have, if they can bring more. You know what I mean? So. So I guess if you can base it on that, maybe just, I guess, overlook the fact that he didn't play that well, and then maybe hope that there's some kind of potential there. You know, he was playing with men. He'll be playing with men next year. So, you know, I guess hope and prayers, cross fingers is what you want to go for.
I think, I think he really helped himself with a good U18 tournament. Mm-hmm. You saw Heiskanen jump up the board there with a stellar U18 tournament, and he played for Sweden. He finished with, I think it was 2 points. Yeah, 2 points in 7 games here. But if you look at the tape, he's going 1-on-5 on rushes and breaking in clean. Like, he showed a lot of promise. So although he didn't play a lot for Rogel, in Sweden, I mean, he showed glimpses in that tournament of what he could be.
Okay, this is kind of like an ambiguous question to ask you guys because there's no right or wrong answer. But before we started this whole little mock draft thing here, Jake wanted to make a trade. He wanted to trade the number one pick.
Oh, we already know. He already announced it. You missed it. He announced it during the draft. He's okay. Like, I really wanted the Canucks to move trade this pick.
Yeah. Almost. So, with that being said, do you guys see any big trades happening within the first, let's say, 10 picks? I know Jake does, but do you guys at all? And Jake, you can elaborate on why you see that trade in a second.
I think there's going to be at least one or two. I think you see a team like... You wonder, does like Vegas move down, try to hoard more picks?
That'd be smart, I think.
Like, there's teams that don't need just one prospect. They need multiple prospects.
Yep.
So, and you're going to see if a guy that's taken off the board that they thought was, like, their best player available, they can just move down to where they think they need to go. So, I think this is the draft where teams are not as sold on, like, who's going top 10. They're not going to, like... just stay and hold still. I think you're going to see a team that's going to move down.
Yeah. To build off that, I think everything outside the first two picks is kind of up for grabs.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I think with Dallas, like, Dallas is, they're not really that far off, and adding Ben Bishop is a great thing to do. So I think either they are in that win now period, or they're definitely really close to it. Or actually, no, let's say that they're in that period now. So I think if they can find some type of deal that can improve their team to get them to, you know, a very long Stanley Cup playoff run, that would include that third overall pick, then I think they'd probably do it. And whereas other teams such as, like, you know, Colorado, Vancouver, you know, they're ways away, and they probably wish they were higher. So yeah
for sure. I think Dallas is probably the most likely. Okay. Just because they're in that win now mode. I agree with you, Omar. They want to go for it now with all their guys at the top of their game. Klingberg. I'm an idiot.
I know Friedman was the one saying this trade could possibly happen. You know, he's putting the rumblings out there. Let's hear from you. Why would Vancouver trade up to number one?
I think, you know, because they're a team that's going full rebuild. I mean, you know, the Devils are also in that rebuild, but they have major holes on their back end. You know, they don't have anything in the cupboard. I mean, their only defenseman they have is... what's the kid from Kelowna, Damon Severson. That's the only defenseman I have. I mean, you know, obviously they would still do that Taylor Hall trade again, but losing a defenseman who's steady and can move the puck like Adam Larson was a big loss for them. And I definitely think, you know, considering they were supposed to pick fifth, they got lucky to be in the situation. It wouldn't surprise me if they made a deal with Vancouver where they could swap picks, but also maybe pick up something else while also getting a Chris Tanev, a guy who's in his prime right now, is 27 years old, and he'd really help them on the back end right now. And obviously, you know, a Patrick or a Hischer for me would help them, but, you know, maybe, you know, they can get a Cale Makar and a Chris Tanev, and maybe that's better than a Nolan Patrick or a Hischer for them. And... yeah, obviously the other guy would be Dallas, who would be in on Tanev, because they also, you know, none of these teams that won the top three picks expected to be in this position. The odds were totally against them. So I think Philadelphia's standing pat. I think they're happy with the forward they're going to get because they're pretty loaded on defense. But I think 1 and 3 are in play. I only see one trade in the top 10, though, because they're very rare. I think there's only been 2 in the past 7 years. It was the Jordan Staal deal and the Jeff Carter for Jakub Voracek. Well,
and technically the when the Devils traded for Schneider.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's
Chris,
so three.
That's your line.
I'm not doing that yet.
They're going to want to hear this.
I can see now just looking at New Jersey's lines last year, I can see them possibly moving away because obviously you're locked into a forward. And with the first pick, you're not taking Heiskanen or Makar unless you want to do something bold.
But see, I think that's why the whole TANF trade makes more sense for Dallas.
Yeah.
Because Dallas is that team that definitely needs to move forward. They just signed Ben Bishop. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't sign a goalie to wait for something to happen in a couple of years. They're looking to turn things around. New Jersey, as you said, Jake, they're kind of doing a rebuild. Do they want a TANF who's in his prime and then kind of lose out on that type of guy? That's why I think.
Well, they've kind of never done a full blown rebuild. I mean, you know, they have new owners. They obviously share the same owners as the Philadelphia 76ers, who are complete blow up mode. But the Devils are always a team that they try and rebuild on the fly. And I think this pick really caught them off guard because I truly think if they drafted fifth where they were supposed to be, they would trade that pick because they said they would. I mean, they sacrificed Bo Horvat for Corey Schneider, who's, you know, in his prime right now. And they have guys in their prime right now. So I think they'd try and get somebody because I hear they're willing to trade a forward now, like Pavel Zek or Kyle Palmieri for defensive help.
Mm-hmm. Would they consider trading Schneider to try to get more players that are...
I thought the only thing that made sense was to Dallas for that 3 pick, but then they went and signed Ben Bishop, who's, you know, pretty close to his level of caliber goalie. So I don't see it. I mean, it's hard. There's not many teams that, you know, legitimately need goaltending, and if for the ones that do, it's a really bad time to be selling a goalie, considering the expansion draft's going to open up the backup goalie market for a bunch of teams.
Mm. Okay. We're going to come back after a little break. So you'll see the next episode of the podcast will have picks 16 to 30 of the first round. So everybody's favorite Gary Bettman character will return. As always, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Tip of the Tower. You can follow me on Twitter at Chris O'Kranitz. You can follow Austin on Twitter at _Owen. You can follow Dave on Twitter at D_Morisuti. You can follow Omar on Twitter at OLW93. And you can follow Jake, a.k.a. Intoxicated Elliot Freeman, according to one of our listeners on Twitter, at JakeMiddleton12. Keep an eye out for the next episode, guys. We're going to get into it right now. It'll be out on Thursday as well. So coming up next is picks 16 and 30. So see you.
Morgan Riley going wide with the shot.
Proud, happy to select from Modo, Sweden, William Nylander.
Tonight's Mitch Marner.